tonight. I was listening to Paul Wilder singing In Your Presence. That's where I belong in that. And in listening to him, I thought about that. And in looking at this chapter, there were some things in this chapter that was funny to me because it was so true. And the title of this message would be Beware of the Foolish Busybody. Beware of the Foolish Busybody. A busybody is someone that's nosy, as we call it. Beware of that person. Beware of the person that can't really hold their end of the bargain. Beware of the lying tongue. Beware of that person. That person will do everything that they can many times to destroy your life. And often when someone is trying to destroy your life, it moves you from the presence of the Lord. It moves you from where you want to be. It is imperative, even as we go through the Proverbs, to understand that it's very important for us to have our mind toward the Lord, because these Proverbs may not talk all the time about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord, but you also have a life to live, and that life must be lived in conformity to God's Word if you want what He has to offer. If you don't want what He has to offer, then what are we going to do the day we draw our last breath? Who's going to help us then? When you're cold as ice laying in the box, hand folded over your chest, you don't know who's in the room and who's not in the room. And when they close the lid over your face, where's your spirit going to be? Where's your soul going to be? It's easy to think about the Lord when we have these meetings. What about on an everyday basis? The Solomon is laying out some wisdom right here to show us how to beware of the foolish busybody. It could be said this way, how to beware of a nosy, lying fool. Let's look at it and see if I'm telling the truth. Verse 1 of chapter 26 says, as the snow in summer and as the rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. Scripture says explicitly here that there's a certain group of people or a certain kind of people that should not have honor. A certain kind of person, honor should not even come his way. And what he's saying here, just like snow in the summer, it just does not fit. They have the snow coming in on a hot summer day, especially when they lived in what are called desert areas in the west, in the east. And as the rain in the harvest, if that rain comes in the harvest time and mess up the harvest, that can be damaging to the harvest. It can mess up what you're trying to get. So to honor a fool, the Bible said, is not seemly. It's one of the most ungodly, unwise things that a person can do. It doesn't make sense. But you understand sometimes, even people on regular jobs know that if you give the wrong man and put him in charge, he can mess up the whole department. They call it a straw ball sometimes. First time the person get in charge, he's not intelligent. He never really did his job. The only thing he knew how to do was to flatter the boss, and the boss went for it. And so now, just like the snow in the summer don't make sense, it don't fit, it mess up stuff, it's out of place, and just like the rain would mess up the harvest, you put a fool in charge, and you can mess up everything. I submit to you, Randall. So many times, people put a fool in charge of their life when it comes to the things of God. They just listen to anybody. It doesn't matter if you have a degree. It doesn't matter if you don't have a degree, but if you're going to say that you're doing God's service and you're not doing God's service for somebody to honor you like you are, whether they call you pastor, bishop, whether they call us deacon, a brother, a teaching brother, honor to a fool is just like rain in the harvest. It can hurt, mess up stuff, or like the snow in the summer is out of place. If someone honors us now, truly, I hope to God we won't be like snow in the summer, or that we won't be like someone destroying something. But I can tell you who do get the honor that deserves it. It's Jesus. When you give him honor, he's worthy. But so many times we trust our friends, our culture, our family, TV, and we trust sometimes just churches and know they're doing stuff. You can't give your honor to everybody. Lastly, you know for a fact you can't just marry any woman and let her have your last name. Is she a fool? That's out of place. Let me see verse 2, how it fits you in with this. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying. So the curse causeless shall not come. I like the way it says, as by wandering the swallow, as the bird by flying. It's talking about when the curse come upon somebody, it didn't happen because it just flew by. It didn't just happen because a bird was flying. When the curse comes, it comes on the individual for a reason. When an individual is cursed, you've done something. When an individual is cursed, this is chastisement. When an individual is cursed, he has lived a life that's so far outside of God's will that God's hand is either on him to correct him or against him to destroy him. A bird flying and wandering, it says, as the bird by wandering, you don't know where it's going, as the swallow by flying, it says, so the curse without a cause, that means costless, shall not come. Don't worry about the curse that comes on you, that it came for no reason. You deserve every bit of it. The Bible says in the same thing, a whip for the horse. Horse don't act right, pop him with the whip. It said a bridle for an ass. They take their bridle, and they put it and they control that donkey. They can make it go whichever way they want to, right? With the bridle. But it says, and a rod for the fool's back. The Bible said, just like the whip make the horse get his act together, just like the bridle make the ass or the donkey get his ass together, sometimes you have to pop the fool with a rod and straighten out. That's right. A rod was for the fools back because they had slaves. Solomon could have slaves and servants. And sometimes people need to be corrected in a way that will get their mind right. And you think that if we'd eaten this and God had it written in the scripture that a horse can be corrected with a bridle? I mean, a horse with a whip and a ass with a bridle, and God don't know how to put something on us? The Bible said he scourges every son that he receives in Hebrews chapter 12. Verse number 4 says explicitly, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you also be just like him. Don't get in debates. Don't answer fools in the same way they answer you. If they throwing out insults, you don't throw insults back like him. If he's being obnoxious, don't you be obnoxious just like him, because you start to look just like him. He cussed, he said, he cussed us like I'm arguing with Kiwanis, and I cussed Kiwanis out, and Kiwanis cussed me out, and then I cussed him some more, and then he cussed me some more. Both of us look stupid. Am I right? And after a while, when men get older, they get tired of talking. Somebody's going to do something. Am I right? After a while, it's like, they can't keep talking. Answer, not a fool, according to his folly, lest you be like him. How more could that be? You know, Randall, I get a lot of people that come to me with a lot of foolish things when I'm teaching the scripture. And sometimes I think they just want to just try to see if they know something I don't know. Well, you don't have to be that bright to know something I don't know. You really don't. But you're going to have to be bright to get something I can't find in a book and not find out. They make books for stuff I can't answer. They have a web for stuff I can't answer. And some things I can't answer will never be able to answer. Like, why did God let me be born? I cannot. If you sit here and start trying to say, Tim, you ought to be able to know everything why God let you be here. You don't. You don't know everything about God, but you know what he revealed if you take the time to learn it. Answer not a fool according to his folly when he's trying to lead you away from God. Answer not a fool according to his folly when he's trying to lead you to do something that you shouldn't do, unless you be just like him. Beware of the fool. The fool is the one in verse 1 you should not give honor to. He doesn't deserve it. He doesn't know what to do with it. It can come back and hurt you. When the fool has a curse to come upon him, don't let him fool you and make you think, why did it happen to me? I did nothing. Don't believe him. Understand in verse 3, yeah, the fool has got to be corrected. So when a curse or something come on, it's got to be corrected. Remember, from the biblical standpoint, a fool is one that will not receive instruction from God or anybody, even if it's wise. They just feel like time to straighten stuff out. Number 4, don't answer him according to his folly, lest you be just like him. Verse 5 say, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. And this is an amazing one to me, where it says his own conceit. The Hebrew word for that is ayin. And that's a Hebrew letter, ayin. And it means the eye. And I was looking at some of the pictures that the Hebrew alphabet means. And when I looked and I saw that word mean, before I even looked it up, I said, this is probably in his own eyes. And it's true. It says, answer not a fool according to his folly. Folly don't always mean he's being silly. He can be obnoxious. He can be outside of God's will. He can even be being abusive to somebody. But it says, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Some people try to razzle-dazzle you with some big words that they learn and some little bit of stuff that they know, and you get in a conversation with them, and they can become wise in their own conceit, and you may think that person's dumb. You may think that person's slow. You may think that person not all he said, but in his own mind. I can talk to anybody about anything. Ain't nobody can talk to me about something I don't know about. I can talk to anybody about anything. So can a child. A child can say, what's your name? What you doing? Why you doing that? Why you need that? How did you do it? Is it fun? Can I do it? So just being able to talk to anybody about anything, so. Beware the fool. Don't make him feel more wise than he should be. Number 6, don't trust the fool with an important message. Listen to him. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinks damage. Do you remember when Jesus got rid of some of the people that were following him? They followed him and he asked them, were they going to leave? The Bible says, he that sends a message by the hand of a fool. You send a message by somebody that can't follow instruction. You send a message that's important by somebody that don't have their mind right. You don't think they're going to change the message and do what they want to with it. He said, you just the same person that cut off your own feet. You lose your own mobility and send the same individual drinks to himself damage. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to read you something that's not really revealed in this passage. But I was looking at something, and it says, to cut off one leg is to make it impossible for him to move. In the same way to send a message by the fool is to ensure that it will not get through. But the metaphor of drinking violence is harsh, though intelligible. A suggested alternative is that the Hebrew text originally meant bearing his bottom. It's just like you just showing your bottom to people. That's what it's saying. And it was amazing to me. And the way it comes out is that an individual has no idea sometimes that you don't see it. It's an embarrassment to you. It's a shame to you to give your message to a fool. That fool can mess up everything. And it says to do such thing would be a humiliation to oneself. Well, in 2 Samuel chapter 10 and 4, it was some men that tried to humiliate David's men. And what they did, let me just read it. It says in 2 Samuel 10 and 4, listen to this. And a man died, and David's men went to send David's condolences. And it wasn't appreciated. And it says, wherefore Hanan took David's servants and shaved off one half of the beard, which was an insult, and cut their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. That's embarrassing to a man. You got him, you cut his clothes, first of all, his clothes, cut half his beard. You have humiliated him, okay? You didn't do anything sexual. You humiliated him. You showed him in your eyesight he's nothing. But they got dealt with for that. They got dealt with mighty fine for that. I just thought since I had seen that kind of information, I wanted to share it. So it says, thus one who sends an important message by a fool, both guaranteed that his message will not get through, just like cutting off your feet, and exposes himself to public mockery. Public mockery. Can you imagine you trying to get something handled, and you've trusted somebody, and now you got yourself out for public mockery, as well as you got a poor choice for an agent, and thus that's like showing your bottom. I thought that would be good, a good little tidbit to give. If it was, I enjoyed it. Verse number 7 says, the legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable in the mouth of a fool. You need to stay away from fools. You can't trust them with your business. You can't trust them to give a message. And you can't trust them to tell you a parable. You just think about this. You got a fool trying to give you some wisdom. Well, you know the Lord is like this. Well, you know the Lord is like this. Because parable means somebody can tell you something, what something is like. Sometimes they call those words a simile. So when the individual that's a fool try to tell one, what he does is he breaks it up, messes it up, and he gives the wrong information. Let me read it again as we move on. The legs of the lame are not equal. He can't walk right. That means one leg shorter than the other one, and one's messed up. So is a parable in the mouth of a fool. He can't get it across. He can't give you some wisdom that's going to help you and benefit you. He's a fool. And so insofar as his mental capacity, not that he's dumb and can't make money. Not that he can't be a boxing fight. How many people would say that Mike Tyson, when he was doing his fighting and winning, that he was intelligent? But he could fight? He'd be broke now. So don't always think of a fool as somebody that can't make money. A fool is one that will not have hear instruction and will not do the wisest thing for himself and definitely will not listen to the Lord. So that's the way a fool is, even with the parable. Verse 8 says, he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that gives honor to a fool. So you got a sling, you got a rock bound in it. That rock can come back and hit you in the head. He that bindeth the stone in the sling, so is he that gives honor. You can hurt yourself by honoring the wrong person. Not only can you hurt yourself, but you can hurt somebody else. Imagine a sling with a rock. That rock will hurt you if it hits you back. An individual gives honor to the fool. If we could put it in normal everyday language, it's almost like saying giving somebody a baseball bat and they walking on marbles. And somebody gonna get hit. You're in the crowd, they put walking on marbles, they gotta walk around a baseball bat. If this was a weapon, imagine giving a loaded weapon to a child. What's gonna happen? The odds of something gonna happen before the child just get tired of it and just lay it down. Giving honor to a fool is like binding a stone in a sling. Be careful who you honor, because it will come back, and it can come back and hurt you way, way worse than anything you even imagine. Let's look at the next one. Verse number 9. A thorn goes up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of a fool. First of all, the fool is lame with his... He's just like a man that's lame when he gives a parable. But just like a thorn goes up into the hand of a drunkard. Imagine somebody walking out. We're talking about these big thorns, okay? And he's walking, he's drunk, and he falls in the thorn. He goes up in his hand, and it's stuck. Now that means it's going to take a lot to get that out. You have to either cut it or cut it open to get to the one end of it. And if it breaks up in there, then you get so much out. And in those days, that gets it had to get infested before it would pop out. So, as a thorn can go up into the hand of a drunkard and hurt himself. So is a parable in the mouth of a fool. People will still listen to one. You don't receive the instruction from somebody that's own life has shown you that it's breaking him down. You trust in the wrong thing. Just like that thorn goes up into his hand and hurt him, so can a parable come out of his mouth be to his own detriment, and he don't see it. Why would you follow somebody like that? Now, sometimes the fool can tell the parable and explain it and tell on himself, and you can see that he exposed himself, but that's not the person you follow. Don't trust the fool. Verse number 10 says, the great God deformed all things, rewardeth the fool and rewardeth the transgressor. You would think that that word reward means they get something good. Understand, reward is your pay. It's your pay in this term. So the great God that formed all things, he will pay the fool what he's due. He'll pay the transgressor what is due. Because often the fool and the transgressor are the same, but sometimes you can be a fool, and what happens is you may not do the worst things in life, but you're still going to get paid. What that's saying is God is looking. Beware of the fool. Beware of the fool. Listen to some more stuff about the fool. Verse 11 says, as a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his body. You feed a dog some new dog food or something on it, and the dog eat it and get sick and vomiting and it look all nasty. You go to get something to clean it up, and you come back and the dog's just about eating the last bit of the crumb of what it was he vomited. And you know how nasty that is. You know how filthy that is. And you know that it's just the filthiest, nastiest, slimy stuff it can be. And you, it almost makes you sick. And you have to think you're going to clean it up. And the dog will eat it. The dog will eat it. The dog, you know, is a nasty kind of creature. You should never let a dog like that lick you in the face. You shouldn't kiss a dog like that in the lips. But people will. But I'm telling you that the Bible said it's something just as nasty. It's a fool that turns away from his folly, turns away from his dirt. He'll return back to his folly. What do you mean, Tim? A man that stopped whoring around, he leaves that folly, he'll go back to it. A man that was a drunk, he'll straighten his life up and go back to it. A man that's been on drugs, he'll straighten his life up many times and go back to it. A man that meddled in people's business and get bruised and beaten up, he'll go back to that. And you think a dog is nasty. What's the difference? What's the difference? Stay away from food. That food can't really benefit. He'll go back to his dirt. Verse 12, almost the same thing again. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit or his own eyes? There is more hope of a fool than him. A man that thinks he's wise in his dirt, wise in his own folly. He thinks he's something else because he becomes conceited in his own eyes. He feels like he's so wise in his own eyes. There's more hope for a fool than him. Now, you got a dog going to return to his folly. You got a person that will leave a false religion. You got a person that will leave the ungodliness of an ungodly teacher, and they'll hear the truth, and they can't take the truth because the words of truth are heavier. The words of truth are so heavy that some people don't want to carry it. The words of wisdom are so heavy that people rather carry some what we call curse words and carry folly and play than to let their words have weight when you talk to people and be a man that's about something. And so you got a fool, a person that will turn away from a false religion, turn away from ungodly teaching, get the truth and say, that's too heavy for me. I can't carry it. I go back to my folly and I will be wise in my own conceit. In my own eyes, I'm just as wise. Although I won't pay the price to be wise. And the Bible said, there's more hope of a fool than him. I said the Bible wants us to stay away from foolish, lazy, right? Lazy, meddlesome people. Look at the lazy man, verse 13. The slothful man, the lazy man, the sorry man, the sleepy man, the man that don't want to work, that's who the slothful is. He says, there is a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. And he do nothing about it. That's what he said, a lion's in the street. It's just a lion out there. What y'all gonna do? the lazy man can come up with any excuse to do anything he wants to, so much so that the proverb writer says in verse 14, as the door turns on its hinge, you go, open and close back and forth. That's what the slothful man does on the bed. The slothful man roll back and forth on the bed. It's a lie in the street, Randall. I can't go out and work today. It's a lie, and I just turn back over in the bed. Verse 15 said, the slothful hideth his hand in his bosom, and it grieves him to bring it out again. That man is so lazy, so sorry, he can stick his hand in the chest and hide it. Oh, I'm rolling over in the bed. I'm a fool. Verse number 16 talks about the same man. Said the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render reason. You got a man that's lazy. You got a man that's sorry, and he think he's the smartest man. You ever met people that's lazy and sorry, don't want to work, but they think they're the smartest people ever? They don't think you can see that they're sorry. You don't think that we can see that you don't want to work? You think we can't see that you're lazy and that you want to live off somebody? The same thing happened in Christian circles. You have people that won't study God's word, and they think they know more than seven people that can tell them what the Bible says from cover to cover, or at least book by book. But the slothful is what people often look up to. I'm not the one. And that individual thinks that because I don't have to go do a regular job, he may feel that because I don't have to do a regular job, smart. I know how to get me a check. I know how to live off somebody. I got me three or four women. I can go stay with my mama. I'm not impressed. A two-year-old can stay with his mama. You ain't done nothing. Come on, boy, just help me. If I tell the truth, a man thought I could go stay with my mama. I was doing that when I was born, okay? And come down, you need to get up and let the dough get you in the bottom. And the next time you come back, you ought to be able to bring something with you, a ham or a turkey, a couple of dollars, if your mama's still living. Verse number 17. He that passeth by and meddle with strife belonging not to him is like one that takes a dog by the ears. Stay away from the meddling people. You go out and somebody start meddling with somebody and you with them, and it's just like he took a dog by the ear. They think you together. Some people will deal with you too. He that passes by, just look and meddles. Get involved with. Cross over to see what's happening. Go and get into it. Get involved. Immigrate to that place where it is not belonging to him. Is like one that takes a dog by the ears. You ever try to take somebody's dog by the ears? It's not yours. You see how fast their mouth can snap and hit your wrist? Don't try it. Just think it through now. Just think it through. You're going to go pull a dog by the ears. The dog you don't know. If you bend them with stripes, it don't belong to yourself. Go take a dog that don't belong to you. Try to grab it by the ears. Now, if it's a bubblegum dog, you might get away with it. To get a real dog. Try that mess. Verse number 18 says, I want to make sure that we get the point of that. The point of that is don't be meddling the people's business. When you don't have no point in it at all. Don't go adding trouble to your life. And do you know that's what a lot of people do? A woman go get with a sour piece of man. He talking about, my wife ain't treating me right. My wife knows so, or the man and a woman. My husband cheating on me. My husband don't come home. And then you're like, well, you know, I'm going to be your friend. You know, you can call me anytime you want to, you know, because, you know, I care for you. You know, I mean, I ain't trying to get nothing from you. I just want to let you know you got a friend, you know. And then Buddy find out your number, and then he want to shoot you. You should have stayed out of his business. It wasn't your business. She shouldn't have married him if he was a sorry girl for nothing. You shouldn't be trying to mess with this woman. I'm like, you can talk to me anytime. Why some married woman can talk to you anytime she want to? Would you let your wife talk to somebody anytime they want to? Let That's the same thing people. I wouldn't even want to talk to a woman if I was married, if I knew she had a boyfriend. Don't want it. That's how that man got shot on Moreland at the Crystal. He had some, up there with this woman. He had a boyfriend. I don't know, they were still together. The guy came in and started eating out of her plate, and he said something, and the guy shot him.
Right there on Moreland.
Don't tell me the Bible don't tell you the truth. You need to know something about somebody before you start going out with them, being their friend. You don't know who hanging around. Glory to Jesus. Verse 18 says, as a madman casteth firebrands and arrow and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and saying, am I not in sport? Isn't that funny? As a person is mad, that take arrows and shoot fire and cause death. You know how bad that is? That you could go shoot arrows and things like that that got fire on and cause death. And then that's bad. It ain't funny. You do something. And then it says, but the same way is a man that deceives his neighbor and say, "Wasn't it? I was just doing it for fun. I was just playing. It was just sport." You see it? It was just sport. How many people do stuff, say stuff, and deceive people about the Lord and say, "Well, I just sensed what I saw. But that's just the way we were doing it. We were just having fun. We were in the spirit." You ain't in the spirit line. God ain't nothing to play with. That's a double negative, but I mean it. God is not anything to play with. Play with children. Play with little puppies. Play with a ball. Play with God. And so any individual that really is willing to deceive his neighbor and cause his neighbor harm and say he's just in sport, that's a dangerous kind of man. We don't need that kind of person around. We need to avoid that kind of person because he's still meddling in your business. See what I'm saying? He's meddling. He has come and intervened in your life, and he didn't need to do that. Practical jokes are not funny like that. Verse 19 says, I read 19, let's look at 20. Where no wood is, listen to this, where no wood is, there the fire goes out. Where there is no talebearer, the strife ceases. Where there's no wood, Brandon, you got a fire trying to stay warm. Quantity, you're living in the country, you got that big old wood oven, and you're too tired to put fire in. You just came in from work driving truck. You fell out on the floor. You didn't get to make it to the bed. But I'm telling you now, if you don't get out and put some more wood on that fire, the fire goes out. Is that what it says? Where there's no wood, the fire goes out. But look at this. So where there's no talebearer, the strife ceases. If there's nobody around telling lies, if there's nobody around slamming people, confusion leads, the strife leads. Some folk always got something to say to stir up something. You can take that kind of person with an attitude like that, let him walk through the pasture where the bull is. Instead of him walking around the big clumps, he'll take the stick and stir it up so more flies will come. And he think he's doing right. Everybody don't want to smell that stench. Well, where strife is, that's a stench. Where the talebearer leaves, when you get rid of him, the strife, the Bible says the strife ceases, the contention, the violence, the strife, the everything is foolishness, it stops immediately. I like that. Get rid of the troublemaker if you can. Verse 21 says, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is the contentious man to kindle strife. You got a man that likes to fight. You got a man that got problems in his life. He likes to brawl. He likes to fight. He likes to be drunk. Is it just like coals on burning coals that keep burning? Just like putting wood on the fire, it blazes up higher. Bring a contentious man, and he'll surely stir up strife. Bring in a bully. Bring in somebody thinking, and you're going to stir up strife. Now, I don't know how many people you all have had over here before, but you know I know it's telling the truth. you know it's telling the truth. Somebody got contention in their life, you want to call the police, you'll be wanting to do all kind of stuff to them. The contentious man is just like adding coals to the fire. 22 says, the words of a talebearer. This is the same one. Verse 20 to 22. See that? The one is meddling. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go into the innermost parts of the belly. That person, it goes and tell lies. That person, even if it's the truth, to go and spread somebody's business. It's what they call a backbiter, a whisper, a slanderer. Same kind of thing as you call Satan. He was a slanderer. It says the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go in the innermost parts of the belly. They learn what to tell. They learn how to hurt people. Look at some of these TV shows. Look at some of these magazines. They tell stuff on people that we really don't even know about people. They hurt people. You wound people. But sometimes you can find out something about somebody you would have never known and cause you a wound that you can never feel right about that person anymore. And that person may not even be the same person anymore. Don't let people come and bring you all kind of dirt on people. Because you can get a wound as well as the other person be wounded. Verse 23. Burning lips. And a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. Burning lips. One is hotly pursuing somebody. And a wicked heart are like a piece of pottery covered with fine silver, with silver dross. It's like a piece of jewelry or something that just got a glaze on the bottom, on the inside, it's worthless. So what it's saying is a burning lip and a wicked heart is like flattery. It ain't worth much. The words you saying, it might look like it's all beautiful, but on the inside of the words was coming from your heart because it's wicked. It's just like a piece of pottery covered in some kind of silver dross. It might look like it's good, but you're not going to get anything for it. It's worthless. Randall, you're the greatest. Kawanis, oh man, Kawanis, I'm so glad, God. I mean, if I didn't see you, then I just thought I would be living. Kawanis, you know, you've been the greatest thing that ever had. Just all that butter. They're blowing that smoke and it's coming out of your ears. They're blowing it so hard. And he's saying that burning lips, or hotly pursuing lips, and a wicked heart. See, this is what you have to look at, the burning lips and the wicked heart. If you understand that the heart is wicked, no matter what's going to come out, this person can't be of that much value for you. So he said it's like a potsherd. That's when they break the pottery and sometimes they could scrape up stuff with it. It's not worth that much. Covered in silver dross. Like it looks like it might be worth something, but it's not. Even the part of silver is the worst part, the dross. So it's like all those candy apple words. It's a many of women been pregnant. And many women have had got laid up with somebody that had that kind of words, like a potsherd covered in silver dross. If you can recognize it. And somebody said, well, that don't mean that. It's a wicked heart does do more than try to hurt you. A wicked heart can try to take what you have. A wicked heart can try to lay up with you and take it and use you. And use those sweet words that you love to hear so well. Baby, you know, I was just thinking about you this weekend. I almost couldn't make it through the weekend. I didn't have your phone number. And if I didn't get your phone number this week, it was just going to be one of the worst times in my life. It was going to be a bad season for me. Lying. You were with somebody else. You just want to use her too. And she can't see through it. Boy, I tell you. Can't read some more words. 24. He that hateth dissembling with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. An individual that know how to hate. Individual that thank you all of that, he said he puts his words in such a way where you can recognize with your lips, and he lays up deceit with him. That individual that can lay up deceit within himself, believe me, that person knows how to use it against you. They can appear to be something, they're phony, you don't trust them. I don't know how they get to the place, but they use the little wisdom that they have, and you see one can give you flattery, one can take the information that he recognized with his eyes and lay it up in a deceitful way that he can use you. How you know that's true, Tim? Verse 25, when he speaketh fair, believe him not. That's what, and he's got a colon. You know, two dots? When this person takes the information he laid up for his with himself, the little bit of knowledge that he uses it for deceit against you or for himself. And when he speaks those sweet words, believe him not. And then it says, for there are seven abominations in his heart. This man is completely out to do what's best for him, and he is not out trying to do something that's good for you. 26. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Eventually, he's saying the individual that was in that group, especially now, you're talking about the Jews, you're talking about the people that's under Solomon, whose hatred is covered by deceit. You ever been with somebody that don't like you? You know somebody don't like somebody and they can fake it and be phony? Whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be shown before the congregation. One day is going to be exposed. Again, the same kind of person that you need to stay away from. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. An individual is trying to bring you down. An individual is going to would use a stone to roll it over you to return upon him. You dig a pit for somebody, you fall in it. Now, that doesn't mean that a person can't do wrong to you. But you have to remember there's an ultimate judge, which is God. So if you do something to hurt somebody, the most you can do is hurt their body. You can't hurt them for eternity. But there's a God that saw what you did. And the Bible said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You dug a pit for somebody, something bad is going to happen to you. You roll a stone, trying to roll a stone on somebody, and upon you a stone going to come. Verse 28, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. A lying tongue, when someone will lie on you, Randall, when you see somebody lie on each other, it says it hates those that are afflicted by it. You wouldn't be hurting people with your tongue. You wouldn't want somebody to be talking like that about your mama, your children, your grandchildren, saying even the wicked stuff, and it's a lie. A lying tongue hates those that are afflicted. I submit to you that a lying tongue, when they talk about the things of God, those people that are afflicted by it don't be able to walk with God, can't believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. Those people are afflicted by that hateful tongue. That individual don't really care anything about them. I just want your money. And it says, a flattering mouth worketh ruin. All those sweet words. The Bible says it works ruin. You like smooth words, you're a fool. Because anybody can move your head left or right. Anybody know how to wrestle? Know if you turn the head, the body turns. You know that? When you wrestle, I don't care if the man twice as big as me, if you get his head and you turn that head real hard to the left, that body don't turn. His body don't want you to the neck to break. And that's what flattery does. It turns the head and learns how to control the person. Beware the fool. Beware the nosy person. Beware the fool, the nosy person, and the person that's out to harm you. If you do those things, you can walk with God, and you can be a benefit and blessing to those that are around you. Anybody have any questions on this subject that we just covered, Proverbs 26 tonight? Any questions or comments? Are we just going to let it be right here like it is? All right.
Hey, Ann.
Deborah walked in. She said, hey, Ann.